Elliott.com.
Broadcasting worldwide from our Elliott Avenue studios, this is your flagship station for the Washington Huskies. Sports Radio 950 KJR AM and KJR FM HD2 Seattle. An iHeart Radio station.
Touchdown, Washington!
From the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Stop saying that!
Need tickets for the first Seahawk game with fans since December of 2019. I'm talking about the preseason game against Denver. VenueKings.com. Get you in the door for, wait for it, $38. How about that? We are about an hour away from Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Milwaukee looking for their first championship since 2 years before Dick Fain was born in 1971. Bucks up 3-2. Game 6, 6 p.m. tonight from Milwaukee.
ESPN's announced an alternate broadcast for Monday Night Football. Ooh. It will have Eli and Peyton Manning on a call on ESPN2. So if you don't like Louis Riddick and Brian Greasy, and whoever else is on that crappy broadcast on ESPN, you can turn over to the Manning.
Yeah, it sounds like ESPN would be the alternate broadcast, and ESPN2 would be the main broadcast. Let's see, NHL expansion draft tomorrow starts at 5 o'clock. Have all the happenings for you live from Gasworks Park, all brought to you by Upper Deck. And how about this? The NHL schedule will be released on Thursday at 3 o'clock right here on 950 KJR.
Here's a did you know.
Okay.
Did you know the Olympic Games actually begin tonight?
You don't say.
Team USA plays softball tonight in the first round against Italy at 8 p.m. Pacific time. You can watch all the action on NBC Sports.
I know they always have something happening before opening ceremonies.
Just softball's got so many games they got to get in. They got to start it before the fortnight, as it were.
Why not just have the opening ceremonies go earlier then and start the events later? I mean, what the hell?
Nobody's there.
How about tonight you have the opening ceremonies? And then tomorrow you have that whatever the hell game you're talking about. What's the game you're talking about?
They don't have the opening ceremonies on a
Here's my question.
Monday or Tuesday, whatever the heck day
Will the Olympics even happen? There's a lot of thought that maybe they may have to shut her down. NFL Ram running back Cam Akers going to miss the entire 2021 season with a torn ACL.
Aaron Rodgers reportedly turning down a 2-year extension from the Pack that would have made him the highest paid player in the league. We're not doing that anymore.
Oh, we're not? Just so you know. Are you kidding me?
No, you
Come
you.
On! When did that happen?
You ask and you shall receive.
No, I want it. I wanted it back. I mean, without that, I can't play my boing sound effect.
You can still play your boing sound effect.
It's over? It's done?
Well, for now.
For now? Okay. Well, maybe we got everybody all fixed up. There's no need anymore. Everyone went to the clinic and got what they needed, and they can all go home and take care of their partners now. So that's actually great news. You did your job. All right, so Austin Warren won tickets for the expansion draft tomorrow at Gasworks Park. You got one more shot here. Your Kraken word of the hour is icing. Text icing to 49451 right now, and we'll announce a winner at 6 p.m. Everett Fitzhugh, not Everett Fitz me, Everett Fitzhugh, the voice of the Kraken, who will join us a bunch tomorrow. Ian Furness going to join us a bunch tomorrow. Of course, we're going to have our hockey guys on the air from Gasworks Park at 6 p.m. Everett's going to join us at 5:45 tonight, and then at 6 p.m. tonight. I got that wrong.
Yeah.
What time is Brian Schmetzer?
6:05.
6:05. Thank you. So Everett will join us at 5:45 tonight. Give us a preview of what's to come tomorrow. But, man, you're as big a dog fan as me. How about your reaction to that last hour? Cam Cleland is your new Husky color analyst, replacing Damon Heward. Greg Lewis will be with us on the Honks, and Cam will join us as well. So a four-man booth now on Tuesday.
Love Cam Cleland. I think that he brings opinions, and there are so many color commentators in college, in the NFL, that all they do is break down the game, and it is so boring and so dry to listen to. He's going to bring humor. He's going to bring levity. He's not going to be afraid to criticize when criticism is due, and that is you just, as a listener, you just want somebody to be honest to you. You don't want to tell somebody that it's everything is great when everything isn't great. And I'm sorry I'm on my high horse, but it just bothers me when I hear broadcasters just that are just sunshine and rainbows 365 days a year, even if their team sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to get honesty from him. It's going to be great.
Well, that's what's going to happen with Greg, too, and that's why I love having him on board.
Yes.
I mean, the Husky Honks, look, you know, I'm doing that show now for 20-plus whatever years, and When I'm miserable, I got to be surrounded by other miserable people. I just have to be because I don't function properly. I don't want you to tell me how everything's great. And you know what? Dick Baird may come across as that sunshine and rainbows guy on the air. Off the air, trust me, he's just as pissed as I am, okay? He's very salty.
But Dick is a character.
Absolutely.
Like, he is a character on the air.
All those guys love Husky football, and that passion's going to show through for sure on Saturdays and Tuesdays throughout the fall. All right, let's get to it, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com right now.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
By the way, if you cannot make the Kraken party tomorrow at Gasworks Park, our friends at Simply Seattle are hosting their own expansion draft party.
Really?
At the Queen Anne Beer Hall, right up the road from us, 203 West Thomas, four blocks from Klamath Pledge Arena. Doors open at 4, draft starts at 5, so if you could not get tickets, and many people could not, for the party at Gasworks tomorrow, get to the Queen Anne Beer Hall at 203 West Thomas, Simply Seattle hosting a party tomorrow at the bar. All right, let's get to it. Our friend from the San Jose Mercury News, as we are just days away from Pac-12 Football Media Day. 1 week from today, we'll be in L.A. Doing Pac-12 Football Media Day for the first time in person in 2 years. Our friend John Wilner with us. Johnny, how are you, pal?
I'm good, thanks. How you guys?
We're good. So I was thinking about that today driving in, that Herm Edwards has not made, I don't think, any public statements about the accusations at ASU. He's going to have to face the music, will he not, next Tuesday?
He will have to face it first time, absolutely. That first time that I know of, he's just declined to comment when reached by reporters for specific stories, but this is absolutely his first public appearance. You have to think he's going to get asked about it repeatedly. He'll have canned answers available, is my guess, and it will be an awkward situation, and then people will move on to other things.
Have we had a situation like that before going into Pac-12 Media Day where there is some sort of scandal and are coaches required to participate in this, or could they just say, I'm not going to do it due to obvious reasons and just take a slap on the wrist fine?
Well, in September of 2017, Dick, Andy Enfield and Sean Miller both had to go to Pac-12 Basketball Media Day in the fall of 2017. I think it was 2 weeks after the FBI scandal broke, and they had to, especially Miller, had to answer some pretty pointed questions, and he just sat there at the podium and said, I can't answer that. I can't answer that. I can't answer that. And, that was as awkward as it gets, and he had to do it. Conference didn't let him out of it, and the reporters had to ask questions, and it was very uncomfortable, but everybody's got to do a job.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he handles that and how the PR folks at Arizona State handle it as well, because they're not going to let him off the hook, nor should they, talking about guys like you in the Pac-12 media. But John Wilner is with us on the radio show. And, John, we just announced in the last hour, Cam Cleland, former UW tight end, played in the NFL for a long time, is replacing Damon Heward as the color analyst for UW football broadcasts on Saturday. Greg Lewis is going to replace Hugh Millen on the Husky Honk Show with me and Dick Baird on Tuesdays. But people are texting in asking about recruiting over at UW. They see all these numbers. They see 4- and 5-star players going to Oregon. I know the folks at West Coast Football tracked this stuff, and they had Oregon with like 26 or 7 4- or 5-star guys in the past couple years, while UW had like 8 or 9. And there are, I think, a certain segment of the Husky fan base that is a little bit concerned about the way recruiting is going right now on campus. Should they be?
I think they should be concerned, but not quite at the, maybe like yellow alert, not red alert. Partly because I think Lake deserves, a full recruiting class here without pandemic. It'll be interesting to see, because they didn't have standout recruiting classes, a bunch of 5-star guys with Peterson, right? And yet, just be the culture and the system and the evaluation skills and the teaching allowed them to maximize a lot of the guys they got. You know, a 3-star recruit ends up playing like a 4-star. 4-star plays like a 5-star. So you know, I don't think it's, out of the question that the same thing could happen here under Lake. But, we kind of need to see it on the field this fall and then see what happens with the next recruiting class, right? I mean, it's the fair thing is jury is still out.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great point because when you look at, and there's been studies done that looked at after the fact, you know, what these players actually did in college and were drafted versus where they were on the recruiting list. And Washington has been top five year after year after year in the Chris Peterson era. So to your point there, exactly right. All right, John, I'm looking at the College Football Bible right here. I'll drop it for you. That would be the Phil Steele 2021 football preview. And I'm looking at Washington ranked number 9 and Oregon ranked number 19. And I would like your thoughts on that because I know you disagree with Phil Steele.
Boy, I think the Huskies are a little too high. You know, I don't know when. I'm assuming that went to, was published after the ZTF's injury.
Yes,
yes.
But I don't know for sure. And to me, that has changed my outlook for the North a little bit. I picked, I thought the Huskies were the favorite, but now I'm not 100% convinced given his injury. But you can make a reasonable case that Washington should be the favorite. There's no doubt about that. Could you make the case that there's 10 spots difference? I don't know. Huskies number 9 feels a little high to me. I mean, I would, Huskies at 12 to 14, Ducks at 15 to 18 is kind of, that feels a little bit more right, but feels really, really good.
Well, I'm looking at, by the way, just to go back to your recruiting point, the 2015 class that included Jake Browning, Trey Adams, Miles Gaskin, Ben Burkervin, Jordan Miller, they were ranked 6th in the Pac-12, and the class the year before that included guys like Buda Baker, Caleb McGarry, LaVon Coleman, Greg Gaines, they were ranked 7th in the Pac-12 year before. So, obviously, if you keep winning like that, then great. At some point you need stars, though, but you mentioned Oregon there, and Dick brought it up. I'm just curious how good Anthony Brown really is. We saw him in the bowl game against Iowa State. Thought he was okay. He wasn't a huge, gigantic superstar in the making, I thought, the transfer from Boston College, but how good in your mind is Anthony Brown?
I don't really know. I think that the jury's absolutely still out on him as well. The question, though, with him and with Morris, if we presume Morris is the starter in Seattle, is not how good can they be, but how good do they need to be, right? And a lot of that has to do with what's around them. And you look at what's around Brown and they've recruited well, but there's a lot of, they've got two very good tailbacks. But offensive line, has got to play at an elite level, and so do the receivers. So we'll see how that works. And the same thing at UW. But I think UW's offensive line, to me, grades out higher than Oregon's at this point. I am just not sure about that Husky defense right now. So we'll see. But, it's going to be 5 plays here and there decide the North one way or the other, pro Washington, pro Oregon, or pro somebody else. 5 plays that go right, it could be the difference.
John, I applaud Greg Sankey when he said this week that COVID will not cause games to be suspended in his conference, and he used the word forfeit as an option for teams that cannot provide enough players to play. Do you agree with that call, and will the Pac-12 follow suit?
I do agree with the call because, I don't think you can, the vaccine's there, right?
Yep.
You do it, and if you don't do it, you got to suffer the consequences. And that is that is probably not at the top of the list for next Tuesday, but it's certainly on the list. I'll be very curious to see if the Pac-12 announces any kind of policy protocol, yeah, regarding vaccinations for the teams and what they're going to do. Are they going to set a number? Last year was 53. Are they going to set a number that you got to have healthy or not? I'm very curious to see how that whole thing plays out. The fact that Sankey was as forceful as he was at those comments, to me, is going to impact how the other conferences do it, too.
Yeah.
I think that's raising the bar for everybody.
Well, if the SEC is spreading that message, then that's great news for the yes. rest of college football. And that's why I kind of chuckled, John, when schools like Wazoo and UW come out and say, we're going to require all students have to have the vaccination, unless you want to claim medical purposes, religious purposes, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, not all players are getting the shot, because I know for a fact the Cougars and Huskies are not at 100% vaccination rate, and yet all those kids are students. So you're telling me that you could expect to see, or maybe could see, a scenario where kids get sick, they can't play, and you know what? If that happens to you, that's your problem. Figure it out.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely a possibility. But it'll also be interesting with a new commissioner as to how far is he willing to push? How much support does he have from the athletic directors to take a hard line on that? You know, I just would think, you know, given the way things are out west, I would, you know, there's going to be a pretty heavy vaccination rate, maybe not 100%,
yeah,
but real close for a lot of schools. And I could see a scenario where it's counted as a forfeiture and not just you know, no contest. But it'll be real interesting to see if they say anything about that on Tuesday.
John, do we know if kids are still being tested like they were a year ago?
Honestly, I don't know what's going on right now, you know, basically during the summer months here when you know, there are quote-unquote voluntary workouts and all that kind of thing. But I would imagine that there will be some kind of testing protocol put in place. I have to think they'll do that to some degree, maybe not as stringent as last year, but they got to have something put in place, and we'll see if it's a conference-wide deal, if that is a state and local health authority deal, if it's up to the schools. I don't know what's going to happen. We got to get a lot of clarity on some of these issues in the next, you know, couple of weeks.
Yeah, and John, you received the same news that we did from Pac-12 media, that you got to wear your mask the entire time at media day, inside and outside, because the direction things are going down there. That leads to the question, fans in stadiums this year, is that going to be an issue now? We weren't thinking it was going to be an issue a couple of months ago, but could that be a school-by-school, case-by-case basis?
It wouldn't be school by school. I would think it would be county by county,
okay,
or in the case of Berkeley City, City of Berkeley. I mean, they are always going to default to the health authorities on that kind of thing. You know, it's not just going to be UW's policy. It's going to be King County.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I would think UW and the Seahawks would be following similar tracks on that, right? So that's, I always just assume it's going to be that the counties will supersede them. We'll see where things are. We may not get a, you know, definitive answer on that until the middle of August, just because how quickly this thing's going with the Delta variant. You know, a lot of things could be on the table, and we may not know for several weeks how it's going to break out.
Yeah. All right. John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. John, before you go, you got the email from the Pac-12 asking you to vote on like 19 different things. I mean, it's ridiculous. The North winner, the South winner, the football championship game winner, all-conference quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, defensive back. It's crazy. It spent like 4 hours on this damn thing. So instead of getting you to answer every single one, and we'll get the poll obviously next week, who is the best player in this conference right now, regardless of position? Usually it's fairly easy to name a guy. I don't know who that guy is. There's a handful of guys, but in your opinion, who is the best player, regardless of position, in this conference right now?
Well, I do have an answer for that question. I did not have an answer for all the questions they asked. You know, some of those categories, it was almost like an incomplete list. Some schools responded and some didn't. I didn't even vote in a couple, because I was like, well, none of the five guys here are even close to the best player at that position. So, but in my opinion, the best player pound for pound in the conference is Drake London, the USC wide receiver.
Wow.
I thought he was the best offensive player pound for pound last fall. Best player overall this year.
We were wrong. We were looking at each other and mouthing Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
I need to see more Thibodeau on a week-to-week basis at a dominant level, right? He's been terrific in the Pac-12 championship game, but I've watched a lot of Oregon games the last 2 years where, you know, he disappears for stretches. And Drake London brings – now, it's easier for him because he gets the ball, right? I mean, a ball handler is can make more of an impact. But London is just – he is a monster as physically imposing, and he's got – you know, he every play, he punishes the defense.
I love it. Well, listen, Oregon fans aren't going to like hearing that. I can tell you that. Expect to get some angry tweets in your inbox when you're done with the interview here, pal. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're an idiot. All right, John, great stuff, and we will see you next week, right, in person.
Sounds good. I will not be there, actually. I've got a personal commitment.
Gotcha.
I will not be making – I didn't know when they were having it, had to make a call on something family-related. So I will be watching the commissioner's remarks on streaming, however. We'll
gotcha.
See what he has to say. Lot of possible topics for him.
For sure. All right. Well, we will do 36 interviews in your honor next Tuesday, and we'll talk then. Good stuff, pal. Appreciate it, man.
Sounds
see
good.
Ya.
Thanks a lot.
You got it. John Wilner with us says Drake London, wide receiver out of USC, is the best player in this conference. How many people right now are Googling the name Drake London after John Wilner threw that out there? That's what you love about him. He always goes against the grain. He may irritate people along the way, but he always goes against the grain. Speaking of a guy who irritates everybody, that guy is not with us. Instead, we have Everett Fitzhugh, who everybody loves, the voice of the Kraken, coming up 5:45 before the expansion draft tomorrow, right here on 950K.